All right, everybody, welcome back to another special edition of the Crypto Rundown. It is a special episode with Brian and Joe, the Momentum Moneymakers. We brought them on. Guys, we are literally basking in all-time highs. I know we had an episode earlier in this week with Brendan. We are going to start that off and kind of give you the update of where Bitcoin is as it has pierced through and eclipsed to new all-time highs. But we told you here first on the first rundown, there's too much excitement. We had to give you two episodes a week. And I've actually been teasing this, fellas, to the listeners out there, is that we are going to be bringing you guys back on a more regular basis once we figure that out later in the summer and get a schedule. So excited that this is a new normal. Brian and Joe, welcome back. Brian, how are you?
Hey, man. Bitcoin all-time highs. I dressed up for the occasion. Got the Bitcoin t-shirt on just to kind of flex to anybody out there that doesn't know much about it, but living the dream.
That's awesome. Joe, how are we today?
I'm euphoric because I got my wrecked drink delivery right before this live stream. Bitcoin's all-time high. And I finally got in on Hood, TiVo. You'd be happy.
Oh my God, man. Talk about finally joining the party. But yes, we're glad to have you. And I'm excited to hear you say that. We didn't even have Hood on the sheet today. I know the listeners might sometimes get tired of being repetitive. But hey, if you have a 10X, let them know. Like, I got to be honest. If you have a 10X, you let them know. So, but we're glad you're here. And I guess that's a vote of confidence for the future. I know Brendan is as well, still big holders and big believers. Obviously, I'm sure you guys were aware. We did a whole episode of the rundown on the Robinhood, Arbitrum, Ethereum tokenization announcement. So a lot of exciting stuff going on in just crypto in general. Man, these rundowns, guys, I think Brendan and I have done two in a row that has been an hour long. So there's just too much to talk about. Speaking of Brendan, I know he's not here today. He wishes he could be, but I wanted to start off just with a clip. If you haven't listened to that full show, you should definitely go back. He did some tech analysis on Bitcoin, altcoins, and we had a whole, again, hour-long episode about stuff that we didn't even get to talk about because we have a whole nother rundown that we're doing today. But let's watch. I got a clip of Brendan's technical analysis teeing up Bitcoin. So this was 2 days ago with Brendan.
And that's what it looks like, what's happening over here on Bitcoin. Right now, we don't know what kind of, maybe news or unforeseen catalysts can get thrown our way. We really can't control that stuff. So in like the day to day, you know, there's going to continue to be volatility. But I think that the bigger picture here becomes a whole lot more clear, especially when you zoom out and you look at some of these indicators. It's like, well, the RSI is sitting neutral. The MACD is sitting neutral. I'm pretty sure the fear and greed index is still neutral, as we talked about last week. We're not in some overextended territory, which is where I think a lot of people think that we are at, right? They say, oh, well, Bitcoin's at all-time highs. Maybe it's close to being overextended. No, it's the opposite.
So there you heard it, straight from the horse's mouth. That's what you get here every week on the Crypto Rundown. Our TA leading the way there by kind of teeing it up and saying, hey, we've been in this range. We've been talking about it nonstop for, wow, weeks, months now. And, you know, he kind of teed it up there for you. He told you multiple weeks in a row. He sees this. Again, we go risk-reward ratio. This isn't personal financial advice for anybody. We are not future tellers or magicians. But we've been telling you for a while that the risk-reward ratio is to the upside. And I have a clip in a little bit I'll play that just Bitcoin's been looking like a coiled spring here. And so Brendan was nice enough to take a minute to send us this chart. So we'll pull it up. This is Bitcoin here. And you can just tell, since the end of April, beginning of May, we've been kind of in this range, right? We tapped our all-time high. We set it. And then we kind of went back, tapped it again, range bound. In the top right here, you can see that we finally broke through to all-time highs. Congratulations to all the Bitcoin holders on all-time highs. It is always fun to celebrate with your friends, which is why I brought Brian and Joe on today. But besides all the price action's fun, but like what's lying underneath? And I think that we touched on that earlier in the week. We talked about the exchange, the amount of Bitcoin on exchanges and the OTC desks are low. And so we're having some buying pressure. We really did a number or a big segment, fellas, on the M2 money supply. Absolute hockey stick. Is Bitcoin price going to catch up? And then, Brian, you brought us some stats with the ETF. So I'm going to pull those up and just share with the good people what some of your findings were around these ETFs.
Yeah, I mean, great point about Bitcoin supply on these exchanges at an all-time low. That's obviously going to be a great squeeze. And you can just see it's a sea of green. What are we on the Bitcoin ETFs right now? It's a sea of green every single day. It seems like more investors, more institutional money's flowing into these ETFs. And then when you click over, TiVo, to the Ethereum side of the ETF side, this is why I put it on our sheet. What I found very interesting, and we've seen Ethereum, you know, it's catching a lot of love right now. You know, it was catching enough hate. Now it's catching a lot of love. And we just saw what yesterday, July the 9th, over $200 million flowed into Ethereum. And I think Bitcoin was right around 216. This is really the first time we've seen, I think since the ETFs have been released, where Ethereum is almost matching the amount of volume flowing into the ETFs, to the Bitcoin ETFs. So that makes me pretty bullish on Ethereum. I know we're going to talk a little bit about these corporate strategies and why Ethereum's catching some love right now. But I just thought that was extremely interesting that we saw 200 million plus flow into these Ethereum ETFs at a much smaller overall market cap compared to Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, the stats show it. And I was just, I always keep on CNBC for the listeners that don't know, just like Fox Business or CNBC in the background. There was like a round table, like, you know, fire quick hitters list. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, Bitcoin's breaking out. And then this is the first time I've heard it. And people was like, well, you know, I like Bitcoin, but Ethereum might be playing the catch up trade. Robinhood announced that they're building on Arbitrum, a layer two. And I'm like looking, I'm like this. I make a comment, I'm like, this guy's never talked about Ethereum. Did he say layer two? I'm like, what is going on? The takeover is real, and the money is flowing in. So Joe, any takes on just the Bitcoin all-time high celebration that us three are having today? What's your thought on BTC?
Well, I love BTC as the main runner, because when BTC does well, typically, you know, it flows over to all assets, which we know and love. So meme coins is seeing a big pump, billions of dollars added under the market cap. And finally, what triple tapped is a descending trend line, and everyone's eyeing this point. Is this the time? And we're seeing some pump on Ethereum meme coins, which we called out to our community. So it's exciting times all around when Bitcoin hits all-time highs.
Yeah, we got a great rundown just to tee it up on the back half here. We're going to be deep diving into some meme coin stuff. We got pump fund news, which I know these guys are absolutely in the trenches in, and that's the one I'm most excited about to learn about. And yeah, we got some meme coin news. You know, these guys, this is what they study. This is what they run out of the tunnel for every day, right? This is what we play for. So stay tuned for some meme coin insight. I even think, and we'll touch on it later, maybe a little sneak peek, but even TiVo had a winner in the meme coin market recently, which we've mentioned on the rundown before, but we'll touch on that later. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. Let's tie a bow on the Bitcoin action here. Just a quick clip I saw of, again, this is the type of stuff, I think it can go both ways, but I personally think it's still early. But when you start seeing, you know, Bitcoin come back onto the A and the B blocks, and I think I've explained this before on the show, is like when you watch TV, there's an hour segment, right? An hour news segment, and it's called the A block. What do you lead off with? The B block is secondary, and then you have some add-ons at the end. And so I think when Bitcoin first hit 100K, it was on every A block, and it was super exciting to see, and we were all having fun, and altcoins were flying, and then we definitely took a little bit of a breather. Now we're back, and it was mentioned again. It went to like B block, and then it hung out in this 100 to 110 range, and if you're doing a media gauge on the hype of Bitcoin, it fell off. Like, people really weren't talking about it, I feel like, for the last month, 2 months plus in this range, which is a good thing, because the hype's not overextended. But here's just a clip I found, and this is just kind of your typical A-block Fox business.
As well. So I want to take another look at another name that you like here, and that's Bitcoin. If I read the notes properly, did you say 140,000 for Bitcoin? It's possible from here?
It's very possible with upside from there, and I don't want to oversell it. And look, I'll leave the story to the pump, but I focus on the charts, and this chart is coiled like a spring here. Now, keep in mind, as many of these momentum stocks have surged off the bottom, Bitcoin's been doing yeoman's work of consolidating within this well-defined trading channel. But it is coiled, as I said, to break out and play catch-up to names like Coinbase, names like Robinhood that are already back at the high. So a breakout above 110, which is last resistance, projects measured upside to 140 with upside from there to 170 as well.
I love that. Yeoman's work. That's like a hockey term in the corner, in the dirty corner there. We're doing yeoman's work in the corners. Jump and chase. I know you like that one, Brian. But yeah, Bitcoin all-time highs. I mean, you listen to this show week in, week out, you know we've been calling for it. So congratulations. If you're somebody who's kind of tuning in to be like, oh my God, Bitcoin all-time highs, what's going on? Guys, stick with us. Stay with us week in and week out. We forecast, we roll the red carpet out of not what's just going on in Bitcoin, but what's going on in the entire crypto market. And again, if you've been listening to this show and paying attention for the last couple of weeks and months, we've been teeing up this Ethereum trade for you. And I think the most interesting thing is the Ethereum trade has come in many different ways. It's come in ETH, and it's come in a lot of different TradFi trades as well. So, Brian, tee us up with some of the links you brought to us to start the ETH conversation. And then I know Joe has some thoughts on kind of the TradFi market as well, on how all this Ethereum hype is hitting the markets.
Yeah, ETH's been getting some love. I mean, we have Tom Lee with BitMine making that announcement, $250 million investment in Ethereum, and obviously talking about its advantages with a stable coin and correlation there. But we have a lot of other companies out there. For instance, there's a company called Blockchain Technology Consensus Solutions. They saw their stock jump, I think about 100%, and they're planning to buy about $225 million more dollars worth of Ethereum. And we're seeing this happen more and more. There's a company out there called GameSquare. Their shares surge. This is all in traditional finance, guys. This isn't some meme coin or altcoin out there. This is traditional finance. Game surged like 60% after its board approved $100 million Ethereum treasury initiative. And then when we're talking about treasury stocks, we also have to talk about SharpLink. That's SBET is the token. And that's up over 100% over the past week as well. It's just very encouraging for the Ethereum lovers out there, the Ethereum market. We have Bitcoin, we're passing all-time highs here, right, boys? I mean, it's 113, 114, who knows where we close the day at. Ethereum's still trading, 2,800, 2,900 bucks, still below its all-time high. And with everyone talking about stable coins now, we have these corporate initiatives to add these to balance sheets. We see these ETF inflows to Ethereum. It's making me extremely bullish on Ethereum as a whole again. I'm excited. I think we're going to see a really nice leg up here. We can talk about this later in the news, but I also think there's opportunity in some of the Ethereum meme coin sectors. It's almost a beta play to Ethereum. If you don't want to buy Ethereum and you want to have a little bit of gamble, there's some really good opportunities. But what I'm talking about here, TiVo, is that we're just seeing not just Bitcoin treasuries anymore. We're seeing people add Ethereum treasuries. And I personally feel, I'm going to kick this back to both of you. Is like retail in this yet? Is the Bitcoin and Ethereum trade? It feels like they're still somewhat sidelined. My dad hasn't texted me, should I buy Bitcoin right now? So it just feels like this is institutional money flowing in. And I think we're going to see another leg up with retail.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't have friends texting me about Ethereum yet. So when that comes, that's definitely a sign. And you can just kind of tell that there's a huge appetite. And I wouldn't say it's retail, but there's a huge appetite from TradFi, right? I mean, you're seeing Tom Lee puts out a ticker with his, it goes boom, it flies up, and it's, I think, pulled back more recently. But SBET, same thing. These announcements, they fly up. So there's this pent-up demand. I think it was Pantera Capital kind of had a soundbite that I heard that was just like, you're seeing these TradFi tickers skyrocket on these announcements or IPOs like a circle. And there's just so much pent-up demand to get into this ecosystem, and that's proving. And then over time, that'll obviously dissipate, but you're going to see a lot more IPOs, I believe, this year and next year. And, you know, these 200, 300, 400, 500% rippers that look like legitimate low cap altcoins, but it's on traditional exchanges with TradFi. I don't think that's going anywhere. I think that's not here to stay, but I think that's going to be the kind of the trend for the next year. But at the same time, again, we're always disclaiming, like, this isn't personal financial advice. Like, I wouldn't go and the next ticker you hear that's doing some type of Ethereum strategy or whatever, put your money in, because it just doesn't, it's not really how it works, right? Like, I guess if you have some insider knowledge, not that we have any of that, but if you know what's going to happen before, I guess that makes sense. But if you just keep, it's like we teach all the time in Brendan's trading course, right? Like, if you buy that hockey stick, eventually there's probably going to be some type of correction. And I know with Tom Lee's one that went absolutely parabolic, like if you compare it to the actual Ethereum that they have now, they want to buy more and they're going to put processes in and they're going to stake and they're going to do the treasury business and sell, you know, do the sailor thing where they're going to raise money to buy more Ethereum. So yes, in the longer term, you're betting on that. But, you know, out of the gate 2 days later, when, you know, they have 10, 20 times of the Ethereum they actually hold is a little too much, I guess, for my liking. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to change.
You know, you make an interesting point that I just want to get back on is, so we have these companies using their stock to buy Ethereum and they get more equity, and then they use that equity to buy more Ethereum and sell the stock. It's like this very interesting cycle, you know, bad for the stock, good for Ethereum, good for the stock, good for Ethereum. It's going to be interesting to see how it all works out, but I think we have a long runway until things could get nasty.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Joe, do you have any thoughts on Ethereum? Are you diving into, I know you said you bought your Robinhood. It's kind of a little bit of an Ethereum, a little bit of Ethereum play, I guess, with the tokenization. But, you know, any thoughts on this stuff?
Yeah, just over on TradFi to Brian's question, I don't think the big hitters are here, but there's going to be more liquidity flowing in because all the money's in U.S. equities right now. And a lot of people who want to invest, they can invest. And the best example is like, you know, Kevin O'Leary, one of the billionaires in the world. He can't buy dirty Bitcoin. He has to buy Bitcoin that's mined cleanly. There's all these rules and regulations, specifically in California where I'm at. There's a lot of things that you can and cannot invest into. So there's still a lot more coming on board. And these evolutions in TradFi, I wouldn't say the treasuries, but like let's say Osprey just came out with Solana staking ETF. Like mm-hmm. That's on a more positive side. Why would you ever buy Solana? You never would. You would buy the stake Solana. Less risk, and it's the stake Solana. So there's definitely a maturation process I see that's slowly happening. I mean, we've been earning these yields in DeFi for a long time, but I mean, DeFi is just more yields. Staking is just like table stakes, right? So it's just slowly getting there. And I think there's going to be huge appetite. And I think everyone, Wall Street sees it. So although you shouldn't treat these treasury NASDAQ plays like meme stocks, although I might, but Kraken coming, make an IPO. That's something worthwhile. So things that actually make sense, like Robinhood launching Arbitrum, like that's why I bought more in the hood. You know, T-Bot, you've been talking about hood forever. And I was like, oh, this looks juicy when they had a dip down. Didn't get in. I'm buying at the top now. But I'm a believer. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I move a vast majority of what I had in terms of ETF, crypto ETFs, into Robinhood. So there's these proxy plays that you can do that's still crypto related. It's not, you know, TradFi. It's kind of like a blend of TradFi and the crypto world now. So I'm excited because I think as much as we love crypto, I'm sure most of us, we have a large position in U.S. equities and or traditional finance. We would love more exposure to crypto. Like, I rebalance my portfolio all the time. I'm like, I need to get money out of stocks and into crypto. Like, honestly, this was my conversation with my wife this last week. You know, we do our monthly meeting, and this is a great way to do it through, you know, these traditional instruments. And I'm glad it's coming on board. It's not self-sovereignty, but I saw a funny tweet that said, there is a news alert telling people to drink water because it's hot outside, and you think people can manage their own wallets. It was like a very funny tweet. I was like, true. And the whole purpose of that is to say that, yeah, I'm okay handing over my keys to Robinhood, safer than myself, because there's so many scams out there.
Yeah, I think just 2 points, actually. The one of trusting Robinhood again, and I know we've talked about it inside our group and group chats, but like I've seen it online and be like, oh, you can't trust Robinhood. Remember what they did. You know, I think we even talked about it when, you know, you didn't get the Circle IPO and we were trying to figure out the email, like, timing of everything, and we were a little upset maybe they didn't communicate as fast. But it's like that whole GameStop thing had so many layers with the Citadel and Ken Griffin and all that stuff. So like that as much as it's a huge black eye in their history, like, I don't think that was like it wasn't just Robin. That's my opinion. And then on top of that, just like, you can't let one mistake, like, and you can't let one event choose your entire investing strategy. Like, imagine not doing the research and seeing kind of what was written for the last two years for Robinhood and their direction in crypto. And not, again, if you don't want to buy the stock just because of that, that's one thing, but then don't complain when you don't get the 10x, you know what I mean? And to build off that point, let's take a step back, honestly, and flash up some warnings for our listeners, because it's not as easy as just being like, this is the next hot thing. They're in crypto. Oh, it's going to fly up. Because there was an IPO that Brendan and I were watching, and it was Webull. And Webull had a lot of hype coming out there. Oh, another exchange kind of doing things a new way. They're into crypto. Webull's going to the moon. And that thing went out, and then it flew. It IPOs at $10, $12. It flies up to 62. So we're talking about a 5-6x, right? And Brendan and I are sitting there. We're just like, man, like, oh, I can't believe it. Like, we missed it. We knew it was coming and we missed it. And I was like, I'm not getting this here. Like, I don't think this doesn't, it's too much hockey stick, right? And then you can see right after, look at that, just absolutely right back down to earth, basically trading a dollar above its IPO price now. And again, nothing against Webull as a company, but some stats. Again, you got to do your research, and you got to, you know, it's not just, does it have the hype? Is it the hype cycle? Go do your research. And I think, sadly, some of the research that came out of Webull was a lot of their active accounts were like, they weren't fake accounts, but they were like promotional accounts that people started and didn't keep active. And they kept those into this active account. And it was just people opened some accounts for a promotional thing one time and then haven't touched it in a year, 2 years. So, oh, look at him. Joe's pointing at himself. So that's kind of goes back to my point of we got to not trust isn't the right word. You got to trust yourself and your research. You got to do the research. Just because you see an IPO and then you're going to see some analyst on TV or some tweet that's like, oh, this IPO is going to be tied into the crypto hype. It might be, and it might rock it up like that Webull. And then you got to make sure you know what you're owning and at what price you're owning it, and do your research, because it can come back to earth very, very quickly. And that's just the darker side of the hype cycle, is buying Webull at 60, saying we're going to the moon, and then you're back at 12. So I know that wasn't on our sheet, guys, but I thought that was an interesting way to kind of tie a bow on it, so our listeners get both sides of that stuff. But let's dive into why I specifically brought you on, because Pump.Fun has been in the news a lot recently. And for those that might not be new, let's start off. So Brian, I'll toss it to you. Let's set up what Pump.Fun is, why they've been making news recently, and then let's dive into it. So just give a quick summary of Pump.Fun as a product first.
Yeah, so Pump.Fun is a launch pad where you can create a meme coin on the Solana blockchain in a matter of minutes, if not seconds. Launched, I think, in about January of 2024. Super small team, really ran with the meme coin hype cycle, and they've made more money over the past year and a half than most companies could ever dream. I think they're up over $500-600 million in revenue. And people have been clamoring because during this meme coin hype cycle, a lot of them, if you look at the end of a contract address, you'll actually see pump, P-U-M-P, and you'll know that's where it came from. That's where the meme coin was derived from. So they're making more money hand over fist, kind of how OpenSea was in the NFT market. They were the only game in town. And we've all been like, when pump token, finally, I think it was actually our last rundown together, guys. We talked about this. They made an announcement. Hey, we're coming out with the pump token. They since delayed it and said it was going to be launched in the middle of July. What? It's July the 10th right now. They made another very recent announcement. Big day this Saturday, July the 12th. They have the ICO offering. Before everyone gets really excited, I've tried to figure a workaround, but in the United States, you're not able to buy this ICO, and they blocked VPNs. So there's not much of a workaround, but still extremely exciting. And we can talk about our macro ideas and exactly the tokenomics behind this. But pump token's coming, boys, 2 days away, and it's going to be a huge day. Yeah, this is the thread here by pump.fun. That they talk about just overall exactly what's happening. TiVo, if you look right there in the first message, I'm going to bring it up. They say something there. Where'd it go? That they're looking to take on.
Scroll up. The very first one. Our plan is to kill.
Yeah, their plan is to kill Facebook, TikTok, Twitch on and doing it all on Solana. That line's extremely impactful. For one thing, they're saying that they're planning to kill some of the largest social media platforms ever created, and all they are right now is a launchpad. So they obviously have plans to do something more than just be a meme coin launchpad. It looks like they're trying to get into the social media game. And then at the end, though, they say on Solana. And we can talk more in depth about this. I know Joe has some thoughts. But that's important, too. They're not coming out with their own layer two. They're not, you know, they don't have their own blockchain. They're not going multi-chain. This is all built and thriving on the Solana ecosystem. So if this token's successful, if their plans are successful, I think it's going to be very successful for Solana meme coins. And what's this mean to me? I mean, their plans to kill Facebook, TikTok, and Twitch. I have some thoughts, but I can kind of kick it over to both of you and see what your thoughts are as well.
My only thought was that promo video does not do this project or company or ICO justice, because this is such a big, big company that potentially, right? And it looks like someone made this on acid. It doesn't hit any. It's basically just targeting degenerates. I watched the video twice and I had no idea what was going on. So it's not correlated with the kill Facebook, TikTok, or Twitch thing. At least I don't think so. I mean, you could watch it again. And just bringing it back to TiVo's point, this is not an IPO, but it's an ICO. You know, remember the ICO days of 2017. And we think, we talked about this, Brian and I, and also the trenches talked about this too, is valued at around $4 billion. We think they're going to hit the raise amount, right? They're looking to raise $600 million. But we believe they're going to absolutely, you know, come down significantly over the weekend. So we advise in our community to take a look at this. If it comes down, you know, 60% plus or whatever, we'll make an announcement within our community. But it could potentially be something, because they're raising money for a reason. You have $600 million in the war chest. I don't expect them to just exit and disappear in the ether. I would like them to do something for the Solana ecosystem, and that's the only input I have. But we could take a look at a tokenomics also, if that's interesting.
Yeah, you can scan down at the bottom of this tweet, TiVo, and just there's like a little pie chart.
He's mesmerized. He loves the video.
Yeah. That video, like you said it. Like somebody who did that was, I mean, I guess I thought the video was well made, but I guess I didn't hear it. But yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem to sell the vision of we're taking over entertainment. It seemed like we're gonna party. That was wild.
Yeah,
it was attention getting, but yeah, I don't know if it sold me on the message.
I think where we're going here is that, you know, when you look at crypto Twitter, a lot of people are not excited for this. You know, they don't think it's going to be successful. They feel like it's going to be a liquidity extraction, and we can dive as deep as you want there. I'm starting to get pretty excited for it. I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to sell out very quickly. I think it's going to initially pump. Obviously, there'll be some sell-offs with people taking profits, but we want this to do well. Everybody, we have a couple apps in the crypto space, Hyperliquid, Pump.Fun. We want these things to do well because they're going to flow into our other bags, and this is going to be a bigger opportunity. When you kind of look at this token how they're going to distribute it, there's going to be 33% of it to the ICO, 20% to the team. That's pretty normal. There's right here, there's a couple I want to point out. It says 24%. I don't know if it, community and ecosystem initiatives. We haven't heard about this. A lot of these tokens can, when they have a flywheel, airdrops, revenue buybacks, revenue shares. They're calling this a utility token, not so much a governance token. So there's a real world where if you hold this token, you could gain revenue. So I don't know if we're going to find out about this information before the actual ICO. I think they're going to sell this ICO out quickly and start rolling out like, hey, we're going to release an airdrop, reward the OG holders, get people embracing it. We're going to, if you hold this token, you could get a revenue buyback or revenue sharing. The sky's the limit how aggressive they could go. If they do this right, it could be very good for the entire Solana ecosystem, including just Solana itself. And then one more thing is that live streaming, 3%. There's probably zero people watching this live stream right now that even knows Pump.Fun has live streaming capabilities. There's only a couple people I can name off the top of my head that live stream. 3% of a $4 billion FTV, what, that's $120 million. What's it going to be split between the two live streamers? So there's going to be some major opportunity here for people live. Hey, maybe we bring the rundown to the Pump.Fun live stream. Because 3% is an astronomical number. And when I look at that, I'm like, hey, they're going to give hundreds of millions of dollars to live streamers if this is successful. And they're trying to embrace and take over Facebook and Twitch. Very long story short is we don't have enough information to really build a bull or bear case. But with the limited information and tokenomics we have right now, I'm on the other side of crypto Twitter. I'm bullish. I think this could be done really well the right way. Pump the meme coin bags, pump Solana, and just make Pump.Fun really a very interesting place. Other than just a launch pad, this could be a complete media company. And you know they have enough money to do it. TiVo, there's another tweet on this sheet here.
Question for you. This might be a stupid question.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But if we can't, as U.S. citizens, if we can't VPN, we can't buy the ICO, let's say we spin up as a live streamer and have success on the platform and they give us pump tokens. What can we do with them if we can't buy them? Or is that
we'll be able to buy and sell them. We just can't participate in the initial ICO offering. And it's going to probably, I mean, what's it max going to do? Two, 3X maybe. I mean, there's going to be a lot of money flowing in. It's not going to flip Bitcoin or anything, but it should do very well. And people that get in the ICO, not financial advice. So really, this is all speculation. Could do really well when you talk a 2-3X for getting in the ICO. So as U.S. citizens, we can't get involved with that, but we'll be able to buy it on the aftermarket, we would any other token.
Did they announce what exchanges they're going to be on, or we don't quite know that yet?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, in that tweet thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that tweet thread, it shows it. And they'll probably get listed on tier one exchanges and where you can get it. There's another tweet in the sheet, TiVo, when you get a second. It's I put it as their acquisition tweet. It's from Alan, the co-founder. When you get a moment, bring that up because there's one port there. So look at, so they're just talking about how their team was so small. Now they're looking to hire 70 plus people. That's always encouraging. It doesn't feel like a rug is going to hire 70 plus core members. But at the very end, our first ever acquisition will be announced soon. So the question I have, who the hell did Pumped Off Fun buy?
They bought somebody. The pre-market's trading it at $4.5 billion. So just a slightly more, slightly higher valuation. I thought it would be, I was curious to what the pre-market, because you could trade these on a pre-market. Kind of like, you know how you can't buy SpaceX, but Robinhood's offering it. So you can get Pump Fun right now due to whales.market, not financial advice, turn on your VPN type of thing. But yeah, this is a good indicator. And a good question, Brian. I'm curious who they're buying.
Got it. Very cool. And is Alon, anonymous? Is he Anon or do we know who this guy is?
He's the co-founder. I'm not sure if I've ever seen his face, but I would imagine we could probably dig up who he is, especially if he's doing this ICO offering. I just don't know that off the top of my head. That's a great question. And Joe made a very interesting call out that you can trade this pre-market. Hyperliquid listed it yesterday, last night. So you could do you could long and short it on Hyperliquid with the perps, and they had $100 million in yesterday, just the evening. That's the highest ever that's ever been or put into perps on a pre-market opportunity. So there's a tension here right now. Again, it's we don't know enough information to really justify if we think this is going to go to the moon or not, and I don't think we're going to get the information until post ICO as well. I think they're going to sell out, and then I think they're going to start making some flywheel announcements.
Don't leave me hanging. Was the 100 million on perps a long or a short?
You know, it was both. It was 100 million total volume, okay. But I was looking at it. There was quite a few people shorting it as well.
We got to look at Polymarket. Polymarket knows what's up. Let's see what Polymarket says about Pump Fun.
Let's see. I love this little mascot. He's so much cuter than the video. The video scared me. What'd you want me to pull up, Joe?
I was curious if Pump Fun had a bet on whether, you know, it's a bullish or bearish ICO.
Polymarket. You know, there's one more tweet here than I could just say over it. There's a few other launch pads as well. So everybody that's in the meme coin streets may know, may have heard about Pump.Fun. Let's Bonk is another launch pad. The Believe app's another launch pad. Radium has a launch pad. Jupe Studio has a launch pad. And just briefly, at the beginning of the week, Let's Bonk actually flipped for market Pump share. Fun. Flipped Pump.Fun. But since this announcement, Pump.Fun got back. Pump.Fun's right around a 50% market share, and its volume's close to 500 million. So they definitely are in the driver's seat. Now, we all know what happened with MySpace and Facebook back in the day as well. You know, MySpace, everybody had a profile. Then Facebook came out and trumped it. Now, nobody goes on Facebook either. So we need Pump.Fun to, we need it to be successful in my eyes. I'm not rooting for a failure here by any means. I know some people on crypto Twitter are kind of, you know, just salty. Hey, another token, another launch pad. We want this to do well because it's going to trickle back into Solana and Solana meme coins and just overall the entire crypto market.
Yeah, we don't want a liquidity pull because we know we've seen those and covered those before, and they are not fun. I think we covered, what did we cover here? Phantom Wallet, we already did that, right? Did I miss some links or anything to wrap this up?
Yeah, just Phantom Wallets. They're offering perps on Hyperliquid too. So Hyperliquid listed freaking Pump.Fun perps and Phantom Wallet. Now you can do perps trading on Phantom Wallet as well. Pretty good news if you are interested in really gambling on longs and short. But so Phantom Wallet in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be able to long and short positions, something that you haven't really been able to actively do in a lot of platforms. And it's powered by good old Hyperliquid. So I'm a big fan of Hyperliquid, so I was just throwing a lot of Hyperliquid stuff in here. But you see that them integrating with Phantom is bullish for both Phantom and Hyperliquid, in my opinion.
Yeah, we have Phantom tutorials on the Crypto 101 podcast YouTube, so definitely check them out. We got to keep growing those. So yeah, if there's any Pump.Fun or Hyperliquid, any tutorials that can help support kind of what you guys are talking about, we should definitely look into making some of those. And then I got your last launch pad here, Brian, is your last tab.
Yeah, that's just kind of what I was verbally saying earlier. You can see Pump.Fun's leading the way. There's a few other launch pads there. with their own unique twist on things. I'm not talking bad about any of them. They all have a very unique twist. I'm big fans of a lot of the teams behind them. But Pumped Up Fun's in the driver's seat. Saturday's a huge day. And why want it to be successful? That's kind of my viewpoint.
Yeah. Joe, any takes on how it's going to go? Want it to be successful? Think it's going to be successful?
Oh, we want it to be successful because it'll be good for Solana overall. And curious what the acquisition is. And I'm just excited to witness it. You know, like we teach to everyone, you don't have to FOMO off everything because there's new stuff happening every week. I mean, TiVo, you did a live stream like 2 days ago and the whole world's changed since then.
Dude, it's wild. It is literally, I mean, every day might be an exaggeration to be able to make like a 30-40 minute show, but it feels like every other day you can definitely make a 30-40 minute show, if not an hour like we did earlier in the week. And we're already bumping up on 40 minutes, but let's continue the fun. And nothing's more fun in the crypto meme world for me than Pudgy Penguins and their token Pengu, which I know basically we've talked on this show many a times. I believe when they first launched it on Robinhood, we had you guys on. It was one of our topics. And, you know, I know, Joe, you've been a huge Pudgy Penguins guy for a long time, even back to the NFTs, which we can touch on as well in this segment. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, yeah, I was just pointing at my Pudgy Pop. I actually got that in San Diego Comic-Con. They're actually going to be at Comic-Con in 2 weeks in San Diego, and they spelled Pudgy Penguins wrong, which is hilarious because they're like a billion-dollar meme coin, and it's a huge draw for a lot of people. But yeah, they made their way into traditional markets through, you know, like I mentioned, Comic-Con and Amazon and Target and Walmarts and you just name it. But, you know, what they've done in the crypto world and meme coin world recently that really got them up is the announcement of Canary Capitals, which helped file a Pudgy ETF. Now, it's not just a meme coin ETF. It's 90% meme coin, 10% NFT. So what's going to happen is that if this gets approved through the SEC, and the SEC hasn't shot it down, the reason the price is up about, how much is it up this week? I would like to say 40% this week, is because the SEC is looking at it right now. And it would be the first of its kind of a meme coin NFT blend. So once the ETF gets approved, they're actually going to, I mean, they might already have the NFTs in custody already, but it'll be a major push into the Pudgy Penguin ecosystem because there's never been a meme coin and NFT ETF. I know that's a little bit tongue twister there.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll bring up the chart right now. So 1 week we're looking at, depending on your timeline on the start and date of the end week, 1 week's 23%. 1 month here, if we click on the 1 month, we're talking about a 72%, 73% rip. And kind of, if you look at the chart here on the launch, and then you got kind of this dip, which was a market dip, definitely some got caught up in some Liberation Day and just kind of like a whole sell off here. And I was remember asking you guys kind of like, you know, picking your brains, like basically I think what I saved for the show when we were talking pre-show, I was like, let me save this for the show. And I think, again, it can't be personal financial advice for everybody, just a couple friends talking crypto here. But when I was trying to play the meme coin game with you guys, and I know Brian and I were texting that night when Trump coin launched, that was wild and fun. And, you know, you get your winners and you obviously, you know, you got to be honest with yourself. You go and you grab a couple losers and you guys were wicked early on Fartcoin. And when all that stuff was going crazy at the beginning of the year, you start, and same thing with altcoins in general. Like for me, I start to get spread too thin. I want them all. I want them all because I think they're all going to go up. And as we all know, that's not how it works. And so I just kind of remember kind of coming back, resetting my base, especially in the meme coins. And I was like, I want to ride one because I definitely believe in the coattails of one or two. And I was like, Fartcoin was one that we went with because I know we had Renick Paley on. He was pitching his Fartcoin, and we kind of, you know, you guys found that wicked early. And then Pudgy Penguins was always one that I heard, you know, Joe talk about and Brian, you guys brought up. And I kind of looked into it, and I thought it was cool what they're doing. And they're selling the plush dolls in Walmart, and they have an active community. And then they launched Pengu. So I had my eye on Pengu. I was like, all right, I'm going to buy it, but like the meme coins are volatile. And, you know, if people in your community know and enjoy how much they get to interact with you because, you know, the volatility, as much as it sucks when it goes down, volatility is opportunity. So I was like, I'm going to keep an eye on this Pengu token. And sure enough, it went down. And I gobbled it up around here around like, it was like seven. It went all the way down to four. I didn't get it at four. I think I got in at like six-ish. And then I remember texting Brian. Brian, you can confirm it was like, it was about 15, 16. I was like, hey, what are you thinking here? And then you're like, yeah, I think you can go higher, but definitely some resistance. And I sold at 15. And then I texted you again when it was at 9. I was like, I think I'm loading back up here. So I've been riding the pudgy train with help of our momentum moneymakers, of Brian and Joe for moral support for sure. But this thing definitely looks like kind of a breakout. I mean, we're not doing technical analysis. We leave that for Brendan. But I mean, it looks to me like it really wants to hit that 24, and then it would probably have to consolidate a little bit to get bounced back up here. But what are your thoughts on Pengu? And if you can educate, because I'm not super tuned into, is there when you buy Pengu and hold Pengu, how is it related to the NFTs? And then Joe, I know you had some thoughts on the NFT projects as a whole.
Yeah, I can confirm that TiVo's the greatest Pengu trader of all time. These texts, this exchange is 100% spot on. Because I kind of laughed at him. I was like, I don't trade my Pengu. I just continuously dollar cost average in. And when you sent me that text, I was like, man, that's smooth moves. And I even told Joe just the other day, it was a few days ago, because we've made this call to our community quite a bit. Just one recently, a couple weeks ago, but I messaged Joe. I was like, I'm buying a little bit of Pengu here. It was like 800, 900 million market cap. I was like, this feels like criminally low, under $1 billion market cap. When you compare it to, if you even want to call this a meme coin, this coin's doing more than most altcoins have even dreamed. So it's much more than a meme coin. And its connection to the NFTs are, if you held the NFT, if it was a big pudgy, a little pudgy, some of the accessories that you were actually airdropped for free, the Pengu token, and you do certain things. So it always kind of trickles back to they're always rewarding their community. When I worked at DraftKings, I don't even know how much I can get into this from a legality standpoint. We were talking with the Pudgy Penguins team about doing something with DraftKings for some time. It never came to fruition. But the one thing they just kept harping on, I still remember. I mean, even if we were offering more money or more share, they were just like, we want to reward our community. We do not want to extract from our NFT community. We want to reward them. I remember getting off calls there at the DraftKings days and kind of with the guys I worked with. I was like, man, they're completely different than any other NFT company that we've worked with. So it makes me very bullish for their vision overall, and what they've done up to this point's extremely impressive. And Joe, I'll kind of kick it over to you, because I know I've been bouncing ideas about Pengu off of you for a long time now.
Yeah. Pengu is incorporated with the Abstract blockchain, which is the blockchain that the same founder created. So there is a plan for the Pengu meme token. It's not laid out yet because of the owner is focused on building the TGE event, which is the token generation event for the blockchain. Once that's done by the end of summer, his full focus will be integrating and potentially promoting the Pengu token. He's got a lot of spinning plates, like to get the Walmart Target deals. That was the first one. He's got that nailed down. The blockchain's the next one. The meme coin he launched in the middle, and he's slowly integrating it, which is a good segue to our next topping segment, actually. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, before we get off of Pengu, I guess, credit to making a good trade, but it's just, I think it's a testament to having you guys and Brendan and our team and our community of, like, talking about this and researching it and putting it on my radar, because without you guys, it wouldn't be on my radar. And because it's on my radar, I jump into it. And yeah, I might try and trade, and you win some, you lose some. And then I'm kind of figuring out after a little dip, I'm like, all right, what am I looking at this Pengu? And then you see this. I mean, you see Pudgy. I'm having my iced coffee and you know, a little donut in the morning. Nothing wrong with that, right? But I'm just like, I'm like, is that Pudgy Pengu? And like Jim Cramer's like, and the opening bell of VanEck shares with Pudgy Penguin, and I'm like, Pudgy Penguin. And I'm like, yeah, ringing the NASDAQ. And then I just like open up. I'm like, 9 cents. I'm like, oh, it's down 20-30% since I sold. Let's buy some more. You can't ring the NASDAQ and not buy more Pudgy Penguin. Not financial advice, but at least for me. I mean, this is, like you said, there's no meme coin team like it. That is a first. That is, if we're talking legitimate here, if we're being honest with ourselves, a Pudgy Penguin ringing the bell on the NASDAQ is very similar to one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, walking on the moon. It's never been done before. I mean, it was Bored Apes was the coolest thing. Bored Ape this, Bored Ape Yacht Club that. I don't see any Bored Apes ringing the bell. I see Pudgy Penguins ringing the bell. And that is a first. That gets people excited. That we're talking about ETFs now? I mean, it's insane.
Absolutely. They're writing the playbook everyone else is following, and that's what's moving the markets is news like this. And that's why we don't believe it's difficult or as difficult if you're tapped in to find the winners within the meme coin sector specifically.
We just got a huge bump of viewers after that rant. I think people were clicking in and started seeing TiVo go on one there. Go off, King. Hey, let's get some likes, some subscribes. We're doing this every week, guys. It's the Crypto 101 podcast. I hope you're all having fun here. We're on the back end of the show, so make sure you watch the front end. But let's continue on. I wanted to I cut you off there, Joe, but where did you want to take us next?
Yeah, bring us to the Rec coin, because what's happening now is that a lot of meme coins and or NFT projects are copying the Pudgy Penguin playbook because they pushed into physicals in the stores. They pushed into products. And Rekt has done that with drinks. So I'm holding one up here. They've actually teamed up with Pudgy Penguins. Maybe the reason they were doing well because they had over $100,000 to $200,000 wallet integrations because of the Pudgy ecosystem. That's how powerful the Pudgy Penguin ecosystem is. And if you scroll down, there's a flywheel. This is just a white paper. It's pretty long. But this is what's happening with meme coins, some meme coins. Just scroll all the way down. You'll see it. It's like a bright flywheel. There it is. You just passed it. Go up a little bit, up a little bit, up a little bit. Up a little bit more. There it is. So they're taking that flywheel, and they are creating this demand out of selling physical products, which then increases attention for the Rekt token because people didn't know there was a Rekt coin. And because of that, the rewards go up. So this is not just a fake flywheel. They have a rewards pool of is worth $60 million right now because the market cap of the token is worth $150 million. I predict this token, this coin, not financial advice, can get to $300, $400, potentially $500 million, which would then bring up the rewards pool to $120 million. So when Brian was talking about, pump fund with $120 million for streamers, I'm like, dang, Rekt Rewards has half of that already. And they're giving it out to people who buy their drinks. It's crazy. I just bought a drink for $70. I got rewarded with $450 in Rekt tokens. Like, I kid you not. It was ridiculous. So I can't wait to see what's happening. And so this flywheel is working on myself. So the drink demand's going up. I want more drinks because I want more rewards. And actually, they don't taste that bad, right, Brian? Like, Brian's had...
The drinks are elite. They're sparkling water, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not. I was buying these drinks initially because I wanted... I've been a Rekt coin holder for a very long time. And it's interesting, TiVo, this is also derived from an NFT project as well called Rekt Guy. The founder is a very interesting individual, very sharp individual, OV or OSF on Twitter. I think he's one of the best people in the space. He was from the traditional finance world, started doodling this Rekt guy because we all get wrecked, you know, meaning, you know, you and enough coins, you get wrecked. And when he was in traditional finance, so he made an NFT project, dropped those NFTs for free. I had a whole bunch of these NFTs. So he held the NFTs, you got rewarded in Rekt tokens. And again, it's all about rewarding your community. That's the two big things that these two companies, Pudgy Penguins and Rekt, do really well. They reward the people that support them. It's really easy to do at the end of the day. And this derived from a very well-known NFT project. I'm not even sure what Rekt guys go for right now. Probably half an ETH. And they continuously get rewarded. You buy the drinks, you get rewarded. I'm a huge fan of this. We've called this out a handful of times, our community. I think the first time we called out, it was like a $12 million market cap. Joe, you called out like $20 million, and now it's $150 million. And I still love it. I love it here. It's kind of another Pengu in my eyes. And it all goes back to rewarding the community, rewarding the supporters, and you have strong founders. Luka Netz for Pudgy Penguins is elite. Ovi for Rekt is elite. And I'm just excited. They've evolved more than just a meme coin. They're these brand coins that are doing more than most altcoins could dream. We hear a lot about these altcoins. They're like, we're going to launch this, we're going to do this, and it never comes to fruition. These are meme coins that are actually doing it, and the community supporting it, and it pays off financially. It's awesome.
Yeah, and then just a quick plug, shameless plug, but you know, Brendan and I talk, we talk all the time. Brendan's the technical analysis. If you want to do Brendan's trading course to get access to him, you know, kind of every day during the week, we have links for that. We have links to the community. If this NFT stuff, and the coolest story was, you know, hearing about you at DraftKings and you kind of putting those pieces together of like, hey, this is the type of action that no other, you know, NFT meme team is trying to do. That's the type of insight that these guys have. So if kind of memes and NFTs are more your style, you know, Brian and Joe do have a private community. I'll put the link in the show notes if you guys want to check that out. And they're going to be with us, you know, hopefully weekly or at least a lot more as the rest of the year goes on, which will be a lot of fun. But let's wrap this up, fellas. Holy cow, 53 minutes. Let's touch on some NFTs, some quick hitters here. I see that you see we got CryptoPunks floors back to 42 ETH, which is about $114,000. Do you guys have
Brian's
got to
buy one. Yeah, Brian's going to
buy
one live.
You're buy one live on air?
Yeah, okay. I mean, we'll figure that out sooner rather than later. You know, you guys, we get some subscribers and some love. I mean, I've fumbled my fair share of CryptoPunks in the past, and I've been trying to get back in for a long time. The floor's terrible. I always tell Joe that. I'm like, Joe, I would maybe think about buying one back in, but the floor's terrible. The reason I put that on our sheet is just a couple weeks ago, punks were below one Bitcoin. You always hear about that, like one Bitcoin, what's going to flip first? Punks over Bitcoins. That's been going over for a couple of years. Punks were 80,000-90,000 there for a little while, but they're back to 42 Ethereum. It doesn't hurt when ETH is getting, you know, pumped, but now it's back over Bitcoin. If anybody's curious about CryptoPunks, you're not going to get like a punk token or anything along those lines. This is a truly like decentralized NFT project, but it's one of the most OG Ethereum based PFP projects known to man. You have a CryptoPunk, you're an OG in the space. Hats off to all those punk holders out there. They're just elite NFTs. CryptoPunks and Pudgy Penguins, Wreck Guys. I mean, there's some great NFTs out there. I know that a lot of them are expensive, but hard for me to see them not to do well if we keep up this momentum.
Yeah, and then some movement on LeBron James, LBJ, a moment. I saw him do a golf swing, which was brutal this week online. Did you see that?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. And hands up. I mean, listen, I'm unathletic. I'm washed up, but I could swing a golf club better than LBJ, I'll tell you that. But we got some movement on his NFT from Top Shot. Joe, what are you seeing over there?
Yeah, I'm the Top Shot guy. Top Shot's, you know, still kicking and moving. I'm going to a Top Shot event in 2 days in Las Vegas. They are doing great right now. They're doing so punks, you know, punks flipping Bitcoin, number one sales at, in the, was it five figures? We'd like to see like early rotations. Not saying NFT season's back. I don't think that's going to happen for a while in the way that it was, right? But we are seeing people, you know, come into the trenches and enjoy some of their gains and utilize it as an asset. Some of these are assets.
Yeah, you know who is an asset to entertainment television? The Dogfather, Snoop Dogg. I did see this on my timeline, and I was actually excited to see that you put it on the sheet because I wanted to learn more. I didn't know the specifics, but we had some Snoop Dogg NFTs sell out here. Can you guys give me some breakdown on what this was? I saw the headline, but I wasn't sure the specifics.
Yeah, so Telegram has this these NFTs, and Telegram gifts, and Snoop Dogg had a collection. He's been in the NFT game for quite some time. You know, he's one of those Bored Ape holders, always kind of messing around with NFTs and meme coins. And the reason I put this on the sheet, these Telegram NFTs are starting to catch a little bit of steam. I don't want to go too much into it. They're getting some attention right now. I also agree with Joe. I think we're far from an actual NFT season, but as we continue to, you know, just rise with overall macros and crypto, people are going to feel rich and they're going to want to buy digital assets, and NFTs, the right ones, still have opportunity. And in the right cases, the right person promoting it, I mean, what did it say? Telegram gifts that he did 30 minutes, out $12 million in sales.
Oof.
Kind of wild that we're seeing that a million NFTs going through. So there's definitely a world where NFTs can thrive in this space.
Yeah.
I love it.
Last point on that is that, you know, we don't only do NFTs and memes, you know. Telegram has notably his own blockchain, which we called out in our community, Ton Blockchain. Pudgy Penguin, Pengu, Abstract. We teach people how to farm the Abstract ecosystem that's going to have their token generation event. So there's a lot. Wherever the momentum is, we're going to be there.
Momentum Moneymakers are crypto Navy SEALs. Before we sign off, guys, we always just want to give a shout out to the live Ryan Boylan. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, D&T NFT. Thank you. Question from Joshua. We can just kick this around before we go off. Companies that switched from BTC reserves to ETH. What stops them from switching back if the price goes down? In my opinion, pretty simple. Just any company can make these decisions on what they want to invest in, buy, sell, or keep on their balance sheet per se. But all those decisions kind of go through the board, right? So, you know, they can choose if the price goes down on one or the other asset, they can choose to sell that asset and move to something else. But it's going to be, if it's a loss, it's going to be sold at a loss. And that's just kind of what it is. Any other thoughts on that question from Josh?
You know, that's a good question, Josh. There was actually, I hope I'm getting all these specifics right, but there was a Bitcoin mining company that was utilizing their Bitcoin as a treasury asset. And then they ended up selling that Bitcoin and buying Ethereum. And that kind of hit headlines. Could be a little off on the specifics, but that's pretty much it. You know, they were big Bitcoin bulls and now they're flipping over to Ethereum. But I think it's very similar to like a board decision or a personal decision. Like, hey, we see more opportunity in ETH in this time frame, so they're going to sell their Bitcoin to move over to ETH. I don't think that's meaning anybody's bearish on digital assets or Bitcoin, which is obviously the gold standard of all crypto. But they just see more opportunity for XYZ. And, you know, it's just, I think any corporate treasuries or additional companies out there adding to their bags is bullish for both Bitcoin and Ethereum and the overall market.
Unbelievable, fellas. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. An absolute record of a week. That's two, count them, 2 1-hour rundowns in a row. This is going to be my 30-second sign-off to make sure that we get it to an hour just because I want that accolade. But we really appreciate you guys listening. I saw that people got really excited when I went on that Pengu rant, so maybe we'll try to be more animated in the future. Guys, if you're new here, please like, subscribe, turn on the notifications because we're going to be going live a lot more over the next couple months because we think the crypto markets are heating up, and you can't tell me that they're not because it's Bitcoin all-time highs today. It was an epic celebration. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you all next week.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.